This is APA Communications Director Greg Overman back with another edition of 5x5. Today, we'll hear from APA President Captain Eric Ferguson and Communications Committee Deputy Chair Captain John Owens about two timely topics, the mask mandate and where things stand in bargaining with respect to Section 12, which governs our airline's check pilots. So let's get started, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Overman. Captain Ferguson, let's get right down to it. So one of the things that has been on the minds of our crew members recently in the sound offs and in the cockpits as well is the extension of the mask mandate. And in particular, you know, some questions came up as why is APA not, you know, fighting for my rights or not fighting for my rights? Why is APA not talking about this? Well, and I think you have. Can you share with the membership your thoughts on that subject?
Sure. Thank you, Captain Owens. So a couple of things. First off, APA has not been silent on this issue. We have been speaking to those in authority that matter and discreetly on the issue. So I spoke to this in the president's report from last week's meeting down in Miami. So John, that was just recounting what we have done on this issue. What happened on this was we got word that the TSA was contemplating a 30-day extension, and we knew they would be making a decision. So before that decision was made, before the administration made that decision, we wanted to make it known that we're cool if they go ahead and let it sunset. I think the evidence shows that, you know, from what we know about air transportation and our modern airliners and the spread of the disease on airliners, and in fact, the waning disease, at least domestically right now, all of those things taken together said that, hey, March 18th might have been the perfect date to go ahead and sunset it. Don't forget, labor originally asked for the mask mandate because we had this total patchwork of policies that was totally inconsistent and really confusing to the flying public. So especially, let's say, a SkyWest operator that flies for United, Delta, and American, they had three different mask policies and announcements they had to deal with, right? So a uniform standardized policy was necessary at that time when we didn't know what we didn't know. But today, moving forward, it looks like we're good if you don't continue wearing a mask. And I thought the administration needed to know that. But that is a highly polarizing, and for whatever reason, it's become rife with personal politics, and it's polarizing among our members as well. So rather than make a big statement opposing it, and I'll get to one other factor here, we thought it best to go to those with influence and attempt to nudge them and let them know that we are good if it goes away. It does look like it's going to go away on April 18 now. So one other piece on that, but with the exemptions we already have as pilots, I sought a coalition of industry leaders to join us. All right, pilot side labor, as well as flight attendant side labor. And nobody wanted to touch the issue. So I said, okay, well, because of the polarizing nature, even though all agreed with the substance of what we wrote. So I wrote a letter instead and said, this is where we are because everybody else was, I think we're the only labor organization to have actually done that. Everybody else was just afraid to touch it. And again, we didn't make it out loud or anything else. We try to influence where it matters. And sometimes doing that discreetly is the best path to getting you what you want. They're on record since then, by the way, other unions have come out. Southwest flight attendants have now come out urging the end of the mask mandate, so on and so forth. So we're not alone, but we were quietly alone for a while. Now others are joining us on that. And since that has occurred, I thought it was fitting to go ahead and publish the letter.
Yeah, that sounds good. I you know, it's interesting that I think it's important for folks to note is that this was the Transportation Safety Administration. And, you know, we did speak out on behalf of our pilots. As a matter of fact, we spoke out on behalf of the airliners, which we fly. However, this wasn't, you know, just about airplanes and airports. It was about trains and buses and other public transportation. So, you know, and there's no guarantee, I believe, that they may not extend it again.
I think so. And, you know, just wanted to add that one other piece, and I know I already said it, but for whatever reason, this thing has gotten tied up into polarized personal politics. You just have to be careful with it because APA is not the banner bearer of any particular political party. We attempt to influence lawmakers on both sides of the aisle with cogent, rational arguments to get them to come our way. That's the way we operate. We don't get into the polar opposite politics of some of these issues, which they just become that way. So we have anti-mask crusaders out there now that it's become the religion, which I think is ridiculous. And at the same time, it's going to go away. So they're going to be sitting around going, I'm trying to take credit for this thing going away. It was never designed to be permanent, never designed to be permanent. When it first arose, it had a termination date, but things weren't going as forecast with the pandemic. So they extended it, I think twice. And now this might've been the third time, I think, but it looks realistic that it's going to go away. In the meantime, cooperate, graduate, don't get in a fight about it. And ideally, as we sit here today, it's gone in another 20 days or so, 22 days.
Glad to hear that. I think that's important for everybody to understand that we did, in fact, you know, we were the only union that did, and that's important for folks to know. So I appreciate that.
Right, John. I just want to say, but we just didn't get out there with the megaphone and blast all the things we do. That's not necessarily going to get the job done. So maybe it's just my style, but whatever it takes, you know, it's going to take care of itself, and we didn't have to get into an ugly fight about it. Rounding it out, though, you know, we were the associations, all of them, were pro mask mandate at the time when we didn't know what we didn't know. We didn't have the data set. The disease, though not as contagious, was much more severe. Many more people were dying. Didn't have the data set that recognized that now proves that aviation travel by air, by modern airliner, is actually extremely safe. At the time, it was reasonable. Now it's probably outlived its usefulness and it's likely time to go. But all that's based upon the data. It's not based upon personal politics or how I feel about it or anything else. And the letter to the Secretary of Transportation says as much.
Understood. Very good. Well, let's move on. I think another topic that may be need a little bit of clarification is there's been some discussion that the union has, quote, turned down a proposal that the company made for Czech Airmen, i.e. Section 12 of our contract, which is not the case at all. I know you did write about it briefly to the membership, but I thought that might be a good idea for you to speak to that as well, sir.
Yes, thanks, John. So I wrote about this on last Friday, March 25th, Thrive or Wither, it's management choice. But let me walk us through what transpired here on this. On or about March 16th, the company called and requested a meeting to make a proposal related to 12B, covering Czech airmen, of our agreement. So Czech pilots, I think that'll be the new term going forward. So they wanted to pitch their proposal. So it was the 17th, I believe, St. Paddy's Day, that our negotiating committee and Czech Airmen Committee chair, Captain Jim Scully, went over and received the company's presentation here. The problem with it is that is a couple things. Number one, APA has had a proposal on the table for Czech Airmen going back to 2019. The company's proposal ignored that entirely. The issues that APA sought to solve revolved around quality of working life, and the company's proposal was totally tone deaf to those things. Okay. And I know I'm going to give credit to Rob Baker. He's the one that said, can you get any more tone deaf, asking people to work in more time for more money when we're seeking quality of work-life changes? You know, can management be any more tone deaf? And I actually wrote that. I took that line, and I'm going to give credit to him for that. I took that line and grafted it into the update from last Friday. Here's the issue on that. So it is a relatively rich proposal from a compensation standpoint. Up to 30% roughly gain for the Czech airmen, if that would make sense. But the issue is, we know from the company's behavior as of late, it's having difficulty attracting and retaining Czech pilots here. And because of that, they're the linchpin in so many ways to the company being able to fulfill its ambitious future scheduling, right? They want to hire, they've announced plans to hire up to 2,500 pilots between now and the end of next year. That's a huge number of pilots, huge amount of training. Can't do that without Czech pilots. And of course, you can train probably three new hire pilots for the amount of simulator investment required for a single Czech pilot, at least, if that makes sense. So it's a very costly thing. So it seems to us, and I can't say that this was actually their strategy or tactic necessarily, but putting this on the table and then letting people know that it is out there and would be available if the union would just, you know, allow it, is in pretty poor form, if you ask me. It's an attempt to negotiate in public, disclaimer, the company hasn't taken this necessarily public. I understand that the company did advise people that they had made a proposal and it was fairly rich, you know, again, hoping to attract and retain the Czech airmen they have and attract future Czech airmen. Okay. But the problem is it's not worth anything until it's implemented. What has to happen before it's implemented? It has to be negotiated by our negotiating committee. And ideally, it comes with those financial improvements, but it also addresses the quality of work-life issues that our current Czech airmen, the problems they have with that. It's a onerous job, and there's just very little flexibility. The problems are pretty well known, and it's been neglected for three decades worth of bargaining. So it's way behind. I mean, average Czech airman can make less than a line pilot, and the average line pilot in some statuses. So the company has to cure this issue, but the path to curing this issue is to include it in a new agreement covering everybody, everyone else, Czech pilots and all, to get to a new 12B. So again, what has to happen has to be implemented. Before that, it has to be signed by the president. Before that, it has to be ratified by the membership. Before that, it has to be passed by the board and sent to the membership. Before that, it has to be negotiated with the negotiating committee as part of a total package. So the point of the update on the 25th, Thrive or Wither update, was just that. Don't count your chickens. Don't try to cash the check. It's not ready, and it cannot happen until we have a new agreement that meets the needs of everyone, not just the Czech airmen. I'm glad the company decided to give this the attention it requires, but this in and of itself will not solve the problems for the company, never mind for the Czech pilots. And what I mean by that is it is a challenge to recruit in this environment. The company can tell you that it has all the pilots it needs. At the same time, because we flow through about half of our pilots, I think everybody knows from the wholly owns here, but they're contracting the wholly owns because they're having to cannibalize the wholly owns to feed mainline today. And then the pool of qualified candidates that might be on file here are not just on file with American Airlines, and it's not likely the first choice for most pilots because we have begun to lag in so many areas. Operational performance, reputation, overall compensation, quality of work life, scheduling, hotels. There's so many things wrapped up into what would make this somebody's first choice versus last choice. And I'm telling you, those files, those applications the company has on file, they're shared between FedEx, UPS, American, Delta, United, Southwest, probably also Alaska, JetBlue, perhaps Spirit as well. It is a competitive market, and we are not the top choice. The pathway to success in flying the company's future schedules is to make the pilot agreement the agreement that everyone else looks to and wants to emulate, not the other way around. So that's what's baked into this whole notion that APA rejected the company's 12B proposal. It did not, because it cannot. It is not time to do that yet. We're going to get an agreement, then we'll give that the attention. It'll all be wrapped into one. And ideally, we are far and away the best contract coming out of this Section 6 currently. And it better happen fast, or the company's going to continue to fall behind. We have the best agreement that attracts the most pilots and is the place to be. I said it once before, where every Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, crop duster, bush pilot, corporate pilot, fractional pilot, every single pilot thinks, I want to be at American Airlines. The one way to make that happen is to improve our reputation. The way to improve our reputation is to go with APA's proposals. Just say, you know what? Done. You got a deal, and move on.
Right. Agreed. I think what's important for our Czech airmen in particular to hear is that, you know, we're encouraged by what the company has shown us. We're encouraged that when they need to, they can do things moving in the right direction. And, you know, like you said, that proposal will find its way to the a ratification when everything's ready to go to the board. The board approves it, sends it to the membership, and they have a comprehensive Section 6 contract. You can't ratify the contract one section at a time. And so that's the critical point here, is that no, you did not, or the board did not, or the association did not turn it down. In fact, I heard many say we're encouraged by it, but it's simple. When a deal is ready to be ratified, we'll send it to the membership for ratification.
That's exactly it. So I know the negotiating committee will work on it when the time comes.
Okay, thanks, Eric. I think the membership will appreciate the dialogue. It's sometimes when you read things, it doesn't always come across crystal clear, but I think you made it crystal clear today. I look forward to continuing these discussions. As always, I would like to remind our pilots, please, if you take the time to do one thing this week, look at the APA Weekly Digest that comes out every Friday. A great source of information. We'll recap a lot of the things we just talked about. And as always, I'd like to thank Mr. Overman for helping us put this together.
Okay, thank you, John. Thank you again, Mr. Overman. I'm glad to be here, glad to do this. When topics reach a certain level, when we see enough sound offs or emails about something that we think needs a little bit of emphasis beyond what we put in the written format, I think this is a great way to amplify that message and get it across. It may just work for others. So I think these two topics, mask mandate, the sunset thereof, and of course the 12B check pilot proposal from the company of the week of March 17. Those are two we've heard a lot about, so I'm glad to address them today. Again, thank you, John. Thank you, Greg. And we'll talk to the membership next time.
Captain Ferguson and Captain Owens, as always, highly informative. We'll talk with you again soon. Thanks for listening.